Hey, this is Kevin from Tame Impala, and you are listening to Zone Funk.
Champs-Élysées, rendez-vous galant. Phoenix est là pour vous. Bayern Zwei, la radio qu'il vous faut, la radio des rendez-vous, la radio du charme.
Come on, let's get high.
Hey, this is Alex Caprans from Franz Ferdinand, and may you have 40 more happy years at least.
Thanks for supporting us.
History of Rock and Roll, as told in our radio show, Teil 10, Heroes of the Zeros, die Nullerjahre, Sendung von Michael Bartle.
Und in diesem 10. Teil robben wir uns so langsam ran an die Gegenwart, streifen die letzten 15 Jahre und beginnen mit einer der Fur-Bands, die den Anfang dieses Jahrtausends dominiert haben. Und die Strokes haben uns im Jahr 2002 erzählt, wie sie von Geoff Travis von Rough Trade Records gesigned wurden.
There was only one person in the music business that was interested in what the fuck we were doing, and his name was Geoff Travis, and he said, why don't you guys come to my hood and tour and do that kind of shit? And then we said, wow, that sounds amazing, and we probably partied for too long about it, and then went to England, and then that's the first place we went. American record labels were at the time, they're just so concerned with like pop and like selling records and MTV and like, you know, making money, and it's like a business, it's not to do much with art. And we found a guy that we could connect to, and we like, you know, we're lucky enough to use him to have people notice us. And then when actually regular people and just like fans started reacting to it, I think that made like American bozos, you know, say like, oh yeah, like I dig it too.
Jack White von den White Stripes.
Der Blues ist für mich das Größte, weil diese Musik die pure Folkmusik verkörpert. Da wird eine Geschichte erzählt. Einfacher geht's nicht. Da nimmt's einen Mann mit seiner Geschichte gegen die ganze Welt auf. Das will ich auch mit den White Stripes machen. Folkmusik.
Even if it's loud and electric, it's still folkmusik.
In Detroit passiert wirklich nicht viel. Aber vielleicht fühle ich mich gerade deshalb so wohl hier. Niemand kümmert sich um dich, wenn du im Kern von Detroit lebst. Ich könnte in meinem Vorgarten 20 Meter hoch Müll anhäufen und niemand würde sich beschweren. Kein Nachbar, keine Stadtverwaltung. Die haben die Innenstadt längst aufgegeben. Dagegen sind die Vorstädte extrem reich. Der Vorstadtgürtel um Detroit ist der drittreichste in der Welt. Der Aufstand der Schwarzen in den späten 60ern, die Straßenschlachten, haben fast alle Weißen in die Vorstädte vertrieben. Dazu eine unsägliche Stadtpolitik und hohe Gewerbesteuern. In der Innenstadt gibt es so gut wie kein Wirtschaftsleben mehr.
All of a sudden there's no businesses anymore.
Jack White von den White Stripes und den Raconteurs.
There's something special about the year 1966. That's sort of like the final year of something, or the ultimate year of something, because a lot of the garage rock bands, you find on those Nuggets compilations and things, they were doing a lot of those songs are from 1966. You got Revolver happening. Their reveals are just about to change. I think it's because it's right before drugs, psychedelic drugs. It was like as far as rock could go without the drug influence. Do you know what I mean? Like, and there's a difference between that, you know.
And after that, there came the Summer of Love, Acid. It all went down the drain in Woodstock. Can you imagine that there's something coming up which isn't eclectic in rock and roll anymore?
You know, we're living in a time where we know so much about rock and roll's history, you know. I mean, it's very hard for anyone to come into any new album or new band with an open mind because they're so cluttered with information from the last 30, 40 years of rock and roll, or 50 years now, 50 years. You know, I think when you were the Beatles and rock and roll was only 10 years old, you know what I mean? It's a little easier. We got White Stripes did a song, Tegan and Sarah's Walking with a Ghost, and we got accused of stealing their song, you know, trying to make it our own. I mean, it's like, I mean, that's the kind of world we live in now. Everyone's like just hopping all over you, trying to figure out how to make the reference point and how to dig in and whatever.
I want to know, like, what when people say we're retro or something, or I'm really astounded. I don't know what I've been trying to analyze this and figure out, like, well, why do they think we're retro? I mean, all we're doing is playing songs with guitars. I mean, from what I can tell, it's because we play real songs with like a verse and a chorus, and you know, and we play them on guitars and drums, and everything's sort of, it's not a hip hop beat. It's not like a, you know, we don't have any, you know, a guest vocalist or something, or doing a rap on our, I mean, it's just so weird.
Die Band Midlake über ihre Vorbilder und die 70er Jahre.
I hadn't really listened to anything from the 70s besides the usual, like Elton John or something when I was, you know, younger. But we weren't really into the 70s stuff until we had finished our first album. And once we finished that, I don't know, I must have gotten turned on to Neil Young or something like that. I was into Joni Mitchell. I just realized that this other music was out there, and this stuff is really meaningful to me, and I fell in love with it and started collecting as much 70s LPs as I could. But we certainly fell in love with the 70s folk rock type of sound. And I don't know, I don't really listen to much modern music. A lot of the modern bands I could care less about, really. For me, that really hits me is 70s stuff, you know. And, you know, I was born in 75, but, you know, I don't, of course, remember the 70s, so maybe it's a thing of I can't go back there, and it was maybe in my mind a more beautiful time than what it really was. Maybe I'm building it up in a greater way than.
Midlake Unplugged im Zündfunk im Jahr 2006. Bandits.
Overrun by bandits. To hand over all of your things and start over new. While we were out hunting for food, our house was being robbed. She caught a fox, so I caught a rabbit, but she caught an ox. So upon our return, we found everything gone, which for us was no loss. We started over with a rabbit and the knots.
So they came down from the north, carrying all they owned, a basket full of food and clothes. They were stopped by a weakened ray, traveling the woods one day. They tried to put up a fight, but lost. So we asked for them to stay with us on their way, to have a drink and rest and regain their strength.
Brian Molko von Placebo über die digitale Revolution.
I think that the internet has a broader view than just music. You know, it's kind of like, can you imagine a world without telephones today? I mean, it's even hard to imagine a world without mobile phones, but can you imagine the actual significance that the telephone made on the modern world? And it's probably, the internet is probably just as significant, if not more significant. But there are a couple of problems with it as well. There are a couple of problems with invasion of privacy, and what it's done is that it's created a culture where everybody wants to know absolutely everything about every tiny, minute little detail about a band. So that takes away quite a bit of the mystery.
But you say, okay, Pierre, okay, it's 2011, and just being forced to not be sentimental or clingy about the past. Mm. Let's start from scratch. So when I saw the touchscreen, I was like, wow, you know, like I tapped straight into something that had been dormant in me for a really long time. That for me was like revolutionizing something, what a potential it had for music education. So for me it was weird that how academic music education was, and it's sort of like ridiculous. It's sort of like reading 5 books about dancing and then thinking you can dance. You have to do it, you know.
I go through all this.
David Lowery über Streamingdienste und was beim Künstler hängen bleibt.
Für 500.000 Plays bei YouTube bekommen die Songwriter ungefähr $30. Bei Pandora für 1,5 Millionen $60. Bei Spotify bekommst du für 400.000 Streams immerhin $113 für die Songwriter. Und was wird denn, wenn Spotify an die Börse geht? Bekomme ich denn was davon ab? Weil sie mit meiner Kunst so viel Wert gewonnen haben, Kunst, für die sie fast nichts bezahlt haben. Das ist das, was wir uns alle gerade fragen: Wo ist mein Aktienanteil in dem ganzen Spiel?
And so that's the other question we're all asking, is where's my stock?
Brian Molko über Mystery und Bands.
Yeah, I miss a certain amount of mystery around bands. You know, I remember when you sort of, when as a kid you used to go and buy an album, and then, you know, it would be big. And then there'd be like a photograph of the guy on the back, and then you look at the photograph and you try to imagine, you know, what this person was like, and just through their music, you know. And I mean, in many, many ways, people are kind of often told too much these days, and that mystery is something of the past. And I think I've always found mystery to be incredibly attractive, and I think that's an unfortunate side effect of this buzzy new modern technology, this fast universe that we operate in.
Every me and every
Jarvis Cocker von Pulp über Songwriting.
We're on the radio, but you see, there's the book. I can make it make a noise, look. That's the book. And I just collect those and I'll see what ideas have been going through my head. I haven't got a formula. I think that's the thing, you can't have a formula. The way to approach a song, I think, is that you get the idea and then you let it ripen a bit inside you for a bit. And then really the trick of it is realising when it's ready to try and get it. If you try and get it too early, you'll lose it and maybe you won't find it again. If you leave it too late, you just think, well, there's no point writing that song because I'm not interested in that idea anymore. So that's a trick, really, is harvesting them at the right point.
Slater Kinney.
That's the kind of power that this band has, is because it has such strong muscle as a force, and the music can be aggressive, but when we're doing so, I think that if we have a really clear target, a really focused point of view in a song, that it can have a big impact. You know, it can be very personal, but if we take a story from the point of view of someone who's not benefiting from the system, is actually, you know, feeling the inequality of the way our economic system is set up currently in the United States, you know, if we can give voice to that person's experience, then we are creating compassion with our music. We are creating a kind of empathy for other people with our music. And I think that makes the whole experience stronger. Seeing what's happened in the United States in the past 15 years, how is I, as an artist, how could I comment on that and make it compelling? I mean, a song to me is successful if you can make other people feel something just for a moment.
Well, rock and roll, I don't know really exactly how to define it.
Britt Daniels von Spoon.
But my girlfriend always says to me, why does everything have to be rock and roll with you? Because she knows how much I like it, you know. And if I see somebody that dresses the way I like it, I say they dress rock and roll, you know. I don't know.
But still a positive feeling.
Oh, yeah.
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 Even if Limp Bizkit say they do rock and roll as well, that's their way of rock and roll.
That's their version of rock and roll, you know.
Spoon, unplugged im Zündfunk. The beast and dragon adored. You've been gone so long. Where you been for so long? I went to places unknown. Rented a room and I forgot my pen. Shook my twin. And I had to finally feel it again. Like that zip, one that can slay on cue and sleaze and snip. Alright, I'll go back to the water. Been landlocked too long. I got a feeling it's all come free. I got a feeling now, oh, and then it got to me. It took its time working into my soul. I got to believe it come for rock and roll. Ooh, believe it come for rock and roll. Now where'd you get for so long? I've been learning my seat. I've been watching my friends move away. I summoned my love back to me. And I went down by the seawall at Twinaloo. They never got you. Great to be it, they don't come cheap. All great to be is all they just want you to leave. I got the beat it's that tight. Says not what you expect, but it could be right.
didn't come free. I gotta feel it all, and then it got to me. When you do feel it, it shows, they tear out your soul. Will you believe they call it rock and roll? And will you believe they call it rock and roll? Gone so long, I've been learning my feet. Oh, where you been for so long? I went to places I know, and now I don't come cheap. I got a feeling it don't come free, love. I got a feeling you gave it to me. Oh, and the dragon of dawn. All right.
Ah. 1, 2, 3. The city's ripped right to the core. The whores hustle and the hustle is whore. Too many people are out of love.
PJ Harvey.
And then Oasis Street, and then we go from Phil Spector Street, Lee Hazlewood Crook, There Might Be Giants, Offspring, Road to Nirvana, and guess what's here?
There's PJ Harvey Parkway. Straddling a road. I like it over there, yes.
Have you ever seen this map?
No, I've never seen this map, but I'm extremely pleased that I intersect with Steve Albini Alley.
Yeah, going from Rue Fugazi up to...
Big Black Road, Steve Albini Alley, yeah. PJ Harvey Parkway. I'm in good company. It's just, yeah. Just a shame I have to cross over the Foo Fighters.
Maybe it's an underpass.
Overpass, I think. Oh, yes, overpass. Overpass. Okay, yes, yes. Better. As any piece of work first comes to me, often when I've just finished a body of work, and in this case I finished White Chalk, I begin to slowly turn around ideas of where I might be heading next. And it's a period of quite of great discomfort, really, because I want to know now where I'm heading next. But for a while, you just have to be patient. You have to stay very open and see where your instincts are leading you. And I can remember at that time, around 2007, feeling profoundly upset and affected by the war in Afghanistan, and realised one day that it might be possible to articulate that into song, something that I'd never attempted to do before, because obviously it has great pitfalls waiting for you when you begin to deal in language that can be dealing with politics, with huge subject matter like war and nationhood. To even begin to touch on these subjects, you really need to tread carefully. So I knew that it was going to be a really difficult task, but I thought it was worth trying. So it was really that time when I just realised how greatly moved and upset and angered and frustrated I was by what was happening in the world around me, that maybe I could put words and song to that.
Damon Albarn von Blur und den Gorillaz.
In 2008, actually the first time I went to Damascus, and recording for the Gorillaz Plastic Beach album. And then I took some of them on a world tour, and then I played in Damascus with Gorillaz. And I was there 6 months before Homs happened. And I've just looked on, you know, feeling very helpless and very sad and confused and angry about what's been happening. And this is the only real response I could give, because it's an honest response. It's getting back together people that I already know.
Bon Iver über Sadness.
Sadness has been a blessing in the sense that it's gotten me here, and sadness is truth. But everything's a blessing, you know, if you can treat it right. But sadness is also a weight that you tie to yourself. I mean, it's a blessing in the sense, just like winter is a blessing. Winter comes and cools us down and changes the season and gives us new life in the spring. So in that way, there's a magnet to every magnet, you know what I mean, that pulling and pushing.
This one's called Skinny Love.
Come on, skinny love, just let's see. Going for a little song. My, staring at the sink of blood crossed me.
Phoenix über Neugier.
It's a good feeling. When you know too much, it's not very interesting.
I'm not sure we know where we're going when we start an album.
Yeah. I mean, even when we finish, we don't know.
We know where we don't want to go.
Yeah.
Phoenix. On Fire, unplugged im Zündfunk im Jahr 2001.
LA, our city's on fire. Don't you know it's gonna be alright? Well, alright, alright, alright. Lately, running through those bombs. Don't you know it's gonna last all night? Alright, 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 alright. Yeah, there was a town. She come as sweet as my hear him acute then. I give her all the love I got. L.A. Revolution is over. You and me, it's gonna be alright. Well, alright, alright, alright. Bad times, they won't last forever. Don't you know we got some real good time? Well, alright, alright. There was a town. She come as sweet as my hero, my cute then. I give her all the love I got.
You know, Adam Green is a shade.
It's a special shade.
You can buy a plate in Adam Green. It's a color.
Is it mint? A very soft green?
It's a very...
porcelain green?
It's a very glassy, clear green.
Like a wine bottle?
Yeah, just like a wine bottle.
Will you sing a little bit, Seward, with the song?
Sing with it? Yeah,
can we try?
For a few seconds, I will.
Okay, we can try. We'll play the song, and we'll all be quiet in the studio.
Okay, I'll give you the signal when to cut me out.
Gemstones cracking cause we're just too strong. Drum size yearning cause the pressure's gone. Supervised love, crucified stubs, simmering red in the sex farm clubs.
Adam Green über die vielen Songs mit Frauennamen.
It's obsessions, things I find myself just fixating on, I can't get out of my head, so it just ends up in a song. I mean, mostly the things that end up in the song are the things that stand out in my mind as being important for one reason or another. I don't know why.
But we're talking about things, we're talking about women's names.
Well, it's the same thing. I mean,
I want to know precisely why you've chosen Caroline as a song title. When you say it's all about real women, real things, I thought you took Caroline just because it goes together very well with vagina.
No. Caroline's a real girl. She dated my friend. She's strange. She has really big breasts. She took my friend in, but she's the kind of girl that when she lets you stay at her house, she requires a lot.
Vielleicht sollte ich es Mannes übersetzen jetzt. Also sie kommt wahrscheinlich wirklich aus Texas, wie im Song besungen ist, die Carolina, und war zusammen mit dem Freund von Adam Green und war sehr anstrengend, und die Brüste schmeckten wie Frühstück, um es zu übersetzen, wie der Song es eigentlich sagt.
Sie waren sehr groß.
Genau.
What does it mean when breasts taste like breakfast? What does it mean?
I'd rather not talk about that on the radio, but
come on.
Well, you can just make it up in your head. I mean, I don't. What do you mean? Are you really gonna make me answer that question?
No, it's all about milk and honey, I guess.
Milk and honey, yeah, Schlaraffenland, you know.
I just don't care about the evening news. I never listen to the crack house blues. They say the city is a place to be. I wanna dance with Emily. Everybody come around a window shop. I guess they've never seen the moves I got. I wanna be with what the people see. I wanna dance with Emily. Emily, sweet baby, won't you be my wife? Cutting me wide open with a kitchen knife. Everybody said that she is underage. Honky tried to shoot me with a 7-gauge. Now I got the cookies that your mama sent. I got permission from the government. Someone should mention to the minister. Now I gotta dance with Jennifer. Jenny's got a mouth so full of pigeon scum. On top of a mountain made of bubble gum. Don't understand what all that grief is for. Now I gotta dance with Eleanor.
Amy Winehouse im Jahr 2004.
I don't think there was ever a point where I thought, wow, I've got a great voice and I can rule the world. You know, not at all, ever. I mean, it was more, I think, that I realised I could write songs. And that's what it was, really, that was a big discovery for me. I think I was about 15, I had school exams, and we had to write a song for a music exam. And it was so simple to me that I just thought, it's not supposed to be this easy, surely. I must be able to write songs, cool, you know. And that's what it really was, you know, that's how it started.
They tried to make me go to rehab, I said no. I've been black, but when I come back, no.
I don't think I ever have been aware of anything like that. But my managers probably have been worried about it at times, I'm sure, because I'm not a pop artist. I'm not a money artist either. I'm a like an artist that you put money in because you believe in me, not because you know that you're gonna get a big return on one single. Because I can't do that because I'm not a commercial artist.
Danger.
Franz Ferdinand spielen 2003 im Zündfunk auf Achse zum ersten Mal Unplugged.
We didn't sort of like gain, like work hard to gain the right to call ourselves a musician or an artist. Or, I mean, music and art is for everybody, and anybody can do it, and if they feel like they want to.
Hey, this is Alex Kaprantz from Franz Ferdinand.
I actually hate the word artist. I think it sounds awful. It's terrible.
Fortunately, like, the theme in a pop song is the most direct form of art and most accessible. That's the art form that we've chosen.
Die Global Pop Producer Radio Clit über den riesigen Musikkontinent Afrika.
When people ask us why were you interested in Africa, I read that in a Vampire Weekend interview actually, and the answer is, but why weren't you interested in Africa?
You can trace influences up to today in any kind of music, and you can find little things there, and I mean massive things as well if you look at someone like Timbaland or something. And
it's exciting for young producers like us because the mainstream is so made of Western pop and there's not that many exotic sounds that go through there. So for us it's like the tip of the iceberg, and then there's this giant history of music and this giant culture that no one really fucks with.
As a young girl, Louis Vuitton, with your mother.
I think I'm not the cultural anthropologist that needs to answer that question. I enjoy it, but I feel like
there are reasons why people are fascinated that our band might be interested in that music. But I mean, I think we are no less fascinated by Bollywood or by the Beatles or, you know, Elvis Costello or something.
Vampire Weekend über ihre Afro-Einflüsse.
There is a lot of African music on this album. Some people just might not think about that when they hear it because it's deeper, it's like cutting closer to the bone. But there is a ton of African music that inspired this album.
Kip Malone von TV on the Radio über Hautfarbe.
I can't control, we can't control how.
Wir können nicht kontrollieren, wie Menschen andere Menschen sehen. Aber beim Thema Hautfarbe drehen die Leute regelmäßig durch. Bob Marley sieht übrigens auch aus wie ein verrückter und nerdiger MC. Und die Temptations sehen auch aus wie eine nerdige Hip-Hop-Truppe.
I think the Temptations look like a nerdy hip-hop crew. I think that Bo Diddley looked like a nerdy MC. I think Jimi Hendrix looked like a nerdy MC. I think that Chuck Berry looked like a nerdy MC. I think the Jackson 5 looked like a nerdy hip-hop crew. I think that Nina Simone looked like a nerdy MC.
TV on the Radio mit ihrem allerersten Unplugged im Radio weltweit. The Wrong Way.
Wir sind gerade Zeuge einer Premiere geworden, nämlich das allererste Akustikset von TV on the Radio. Wir hörten den Song Wrong Way. It was the first time that the band TV on the Radio played an acoustic set. Ich habe David und Kip Malone hier von TV on the Radio. So it was a premiere for you to do that kind of stuff?
Yeah, we haven't done it as a band and certainly not in front of microphones.
Never.
MIA, Global Pop Hoffnung. Von Sri Lanka über London nach L.A.
Honey, I am Live Aid. I am the kid that came from a mud hut.
Süßer, ich bin Live Aid, verstehst du? Ich bin ein Kid, das aus einer Lehmhütte nach England kam und habe dann selbst gelernt, wie man die 505, wie man den Sequencer spielt.
You know what I mean? Paper, get high, life pains. If you catch me at the border, I got visas in my name. If you come around here, I'll make a more day. I get one down in a second if you wait. Sometimes I think sitting on trains. Every step I get to, I'm clocking that game. Everyone's a winner, we're making our fame. Bonafide hustle.
I think in the beginning people really did jump on, like,
jemand wie ich ist ihnen offensichtlich seit sehr langer Zeit nicht mehr untergekommen. Das kotzte mich an und ich sagte, okay, geht weiter Cappuccino-Musik hören, tanzt weiter zu einem Frosch aus der Klingeltonwerbung und haltet mich eben für einen Fake.
She rang me and she sang Sunshine's down the phone. She was like, I salt and pepper my mango, yo.
Missy rief mich an und sang mir durchs Telefon Mein Sunshowers vor. Ich bin fast in Ohnmacht gefallen. Sie kam dann zu meinem Konzert und wollte, dass ich auf ihrem Album mitmache. Ich hatte also nur einen Tag Zeit, um einen Track fertigzustellen. Und ich tat es. Ich tourte zu diesem Zeitpunkt in den USA und es ging alles so schnell. Ich hätte für das Projekt mit Missy normalerweise mindestens eine Woche Bedenkzeit gebraucht. Aber ich musste mich sofort entscheiden. Und plötzlich riefen auch noch alle großen Hip-Hop-Produzenten Amerikas an. Also Kanye West, Jay-Z und Timbaland. Es war einfach zu viel. Ich schrie meinen Manager an, hey, warum bin ich auf Tour? Das ist mein Traum. Oh Gott, wie kannst du es wagen, für mich nur 4 Stunden Studiozeit zu buchen? So schnell bin ich nicht. Ich bin nicht diese Art von Rapper.
I'm on tour. This is my dream. Oh my God.
M.I.A. live am 2. Juli 2005 im Münchner Atomic Café.
If you have an edge, like you're a little bit ahead of things, or you're...
To have an edge heißt, mit irgendwas voraus zu sein, etwas Positivem wie einem Talent. Und to lose someone's edge heißt, dass man diese außergewöhnliche Fähigkeit verliert. Wie zum Beispiel ein Fußballer, der mal brillant war, aber nun von den nachkommenden jüngeren Spielern überholt wird. Als ich begann, Punkrock aufzulegen, dachte ich, ich wäre der Einzige, der sowas macht. Und plötzlich komme ich auf Partys und jemand anders legt so ähnliche Sachen auf wie ich. Da wurde ich richtig sauer. Mensch, ich hatte doch gerade erst begonnen, dafür auch noch Geld zu bekommen. Ich dachte, es wäre vorbei. Es war mir peinlich, solche Sachen zu denken wie, hey, das ist mein Song, den habe ich schon letztes Jahr gespielt. Was natürlich völliger Quatsch ist, weil sobald ein Song auf einer Platte ist, kann ihn natürlich jeder spielen. Also schrieb ich einen Song über dieses Gefühl, den Anschluss zu verlieren und dann diese peinlichen Sachen zu sagen.
How pathetic it makes you, kind of. The things you say, how embarrassing they are.
Yeah, I'm losing my edge. I'm losing my edge. The kids are coming up from behind. I'm losing my edge. I'm losing my edge.
It's like a half farming town, half suburban town. It's a very strange place.
Ich bin in einem sehr kleinen Ort aufgewachsen, halb Bauernhof, halb Vorstadt. Es gab dort nichts als Häuser. Als ich nach 20 Jahren wegzog, gab es immer noch kein Kino. Der Ort heißt Princeton Junction, ist also der Bahnhof von Princeton, einer bekannten Universitätsstadt. Dort gab es all das, was wir nicht hatten: Restaurants, Kulturleben, Geld. Man wuchs also mit einem eingepflanzten Minderwertigkeitskomplex auf. All die Jugendlichen dort gingen auf teure Privatschulen, lasen Gedichte, fuhren schöne Autos. Sie sahen aus wie aus den 50ern. In meiner Nachbarschaft gab es nur verdreckte Landeier. So ein Minderwertigkeitskomplex kann gute und schlechte Auswirkungen entwickeln. Mir hat er eher genutzt. Ich lernte früh, dass andere Menschen eigentlich auch nur normal und langweilig sind. Auch von mir dachte ich, dass ich absolut durchschnittlich sei. Und ich denke, das ist eine gute psychologische Grundlage.
It's better to be prepared for that, I think, psychologically.
Der Erfolg der ersten Singles hat sich nicht in den Verkaufszahlen niedergeschlagen. Erfolgreich waren sie eher bei den Journalisten, DJs und Leuten, die in Plattenläden arbeiten. Aber in der wirklichen Welt existieren wir nicht einmal. Es gibt keine Highschool-Kids, die uns hören würden. Was DFA angeht, wollten Tim und ich schon immer auch den Mainstream anpeilen, einfach weil es eine sichere Sache ist. Wenn du dich allgemein über Musik beschwerst, kannst du das in deinem Plattenladen tun oder du kannst versuchen, etwas zu ändern. Wir sind am effizientesten, indem wir ein Label betreiben und die Musik unterstützen, die wir mögen, soweit es die finanziellen Tatsachen zulassen. Aber wir können auch versuchen, kommerzielle Musik zu machen, ohne viele Kompromisse einzugehen. Sie so interessant zu machen, dass Künstler, die erfolgreicher, talentierter und charismatischer sind als wir, unseren Druck zu spüren bekommen. Wir wollen relevante Musik machen. Music Now. Unsere Musik bezieht sich einerseits auf die Tradition guter Rockmusik wie Neu, Led Zeppelin, T-Rex, Suicide und so weiter. Aber auf was wir hier und jetzt reagieren, ist moderne Musik, und zwar im positiven Sinne. Es ist wie ein Streit unter Liebenden. Also versuchen wir, die Outcasts und Coldplays dieser Welt unter Druck zu setzen und damit die Welt wieder ein bisschen kleiner zu machen, wie vielleicht zu den Zeiten der Beatles. Damals spielte Jimi Hendrix 2 Konzerte in London und schon standen die anderen Bands unter Zugzwang.
Don't do it that way. You'll never make a dime. I was there. I was the first guy playing Daft Punk to the Rock Kids. I played it at CBGB. Everybody thought it was crazy. We all know.
Rosie und Devendra Benhart knutschen im Jahr 2004 im Zündfunk.
At the moment we are in a state of nomadic transit and have no apartment. But prior to the album I had been in Paris about a year.
Also sie sind momentan immer unterwegs, sie haben keine feste Adresse momentan, aber bei der Produktion des Albums waren sie in Paris. Es ist sehr schön, Bianca und Devendra küssen sich immer während des Interviews. So it's official, you're a couple, because there were some rumors that,
we're just really close. She's like my cousin. We got tested and we're actually related. She's my cousin. So we try to keep the kissing above the toes.
I see. Jetzt wird wieder geschmust und geküsst. It's nice. They're embracing all the time. And kennst du den Vergleich mit Billie Holiday, den großen Jazz- und Blues-Sängerin, mit Bessie Smith? Do you know those girls?
A little bit. So sometimes I get those comparisons now from being live, but I think she gets that more from the record. And I don't know, I feel like a few of the songs were inspired kind of by this perspective that a lot of early female blues singers take. These confessions of love and a lot of agony that they kind of carry on and like and things that they endure for their man became sort of, at least for By Your Side, it was sort of like the foundation of that, the inspiration, but vocally, I don't know, it's kind of a mystery.
Down now.
Coco Rosie, By Your Side, Zündfunk Unplugged. Josh Homme von Queens of the Stone Age.
It was the hardest 3 years of my life. I don't want to make too big a thing of it, but like getting defibrillated and brought back. I don't want to focus on that. But the thing is that I think I worked so hard that when I stopped and picked my head up, I was like, where am I? You know? And I think getting that process of figuring out where the hell you drove yourself to and dropped yourself off, it just took a second, you know?
Connor Oberst.
I have a certain personality trait, which I'm not that proud of, but it's basically whenever I do something that people enjoy and like, I pretty much immediately want to do something else. And I don't know what that is about. And I think as an artist, or if you're in a band, and if you're in a band for a long time and making records, like the most dangerous position I think for an artist to put themselves in is to start to believe that they know what their audience wants and then tries to provide that to them. Because at that point, I think you're going to end up making terrible music.
Connor Oberst, solo im Münchner Atomic Café.
I know that it is freezing, but I think we have to walk. I keep waving at the taxis, they keep turning their lights off. But Julie knows a party at some actor's west side loft. Supplies are endless in the evening. By the morning, they'll be gone. When everything is lonely, I can be my own best friend. I get a coffee and the paper, have my own conversations. With the sidewalk and the pigeons in my window reflection. The mask I polish in the evening by the morning looks like shit. And I know you have a heavy heart. I can feel it when we kiss. So many men stronger than me have thrown their backs out trying to lift it. But me, I'm not a gamble. You can count on me to split. The love I sell you in the evening by the morning won't exist.
Alison Mossart und Jamie Hinz von The Kills.
The important thing about getting in the studio is getting out of the studio and finishing and listening to the results and being happy with it. And in a way, the end justifies the means. It's not an easy ride in the studio. It's not comfortable. It's often a battle, mental illness. It's crazy. I don't ever want to be in a band that gets in a studio and is just like, I suppose I ought to play my parts like that. I want to be in a band that's just like on the button as soon as you're awake, there, bang, and just like fighting about like how this is going to be, and then being inspired like, shit, she just wrote a great song, I've got to write a greater song. You know, I want to be like that. It's an intensity that's hard to keep up, and for some reason, call it a curse or call it a blessing, we managed to keep it up for years. We managed to keep up this uber excitement and this, you know, competition and this battle to be better than we are. It's a struggle, it's tough. There's moments when we don't understand it, where she's crying and I'm shouting, and it doesn't seem to make sense. But after the event, it makes you closer and it makes you better. Mm. Sometimes your band is more powerful than and more important than the two people that have started it. That's my feeling.
I think like making something to a point where you feel like it's good enough and it's great, it's not like pain and suffering, but it is. It takes like so much of you. You know, you put everything in, and it is quite like all or nothing.
And I think for
pain and suffering might be just the wrong term.
The suffering is, it's important for me, I think. There's a sort of arrogance in easy art, you know. A big part of art is how authentic it is. And I think the more you struggle to make it, the more perhaps you're in touch with that authenticity of it.
Markus Acher von The No Twist über Neon Golden.
Also am Anfang war sie schon sehr aufgeladen eben so und auch so ein bisschen wütend und so. Auch so ein bisschen so eine Wut auf dieses, weil es auch für uns so ein Umbruch war, wo man gesehen hat, okay, man kann sich jetzt zu so gewissen Gegebenheiten innerhalb dieses ganzen Musikbusiness und so anpassen oder eben auch nicht. Man macht sich viel Gedanken darüber, wie zieht man aus, wie hat man zu wirken. Ein Lied mit Orchester muss auf die Platte, aber auch der Kracher und was ist die Single und solche Sachen und so. Das war halt irgendwie für uns vorher, so aus diesem ganzen Indie-Hardcore-Ding kommt, war das nie ein Thema.
Wie seid ihr dann doch sozusagen von der wütenden Krachplatte, die sich so gegen den aufkommenden Indie-Mainstream dann gewendet hätte, dann doch zur einfachen Platte gekommen?
Ja, das waren halt die Stücke und das kann man dann auch nicht wirklich so steuern. Also ich glaube, das dann doch, dass wir als Musiker dann doch eine Sehnsucht haben nach so, zumindest im Kontext von Nordsist, nach Stücken einfach, also nach so klassischen Songs und so. Und dann haben wir eben versucht, genau dieses Dagegenarbeiten in so kleine Details irgendwie halt so zu verlagern. Also da jetzt nicht die große Geste, sondern so die Mini-Mikro-Ebene und so, dass man halt wirklich versucht, immer wieder also ganz viele Schichten einzuarbeiten, die halt auch da in eine ganz andere Richtung gehen und so für sich gesehen vielleicht auch viel anstrengender sind und so, als dann das gesamte Lied. Das war schon so ein Kennzeichen für den Neon Golden auf jeden Fall, dieses ständige, so zwischen zwei Polen halt.
The No Twist, live im Studio 2 des Bayerischen Rundfunks. DJ Kotze.
Die Faszination fürs Remixen habe ich ja schon ganz lange.
Also ich sehe es ja immer, ich habe das ja schon öfter gesagt, wie so ein Gewandschneidern um Gesang und Vocals und auch eine Wertschätzung und auch ein feinfühliges Essenzen aufspüren, und um dann einen neuen zwingenden Vorschlag zu machen, nicht das Lied zu verbessern. Ich bin nicht interessiert daran, irgendein Lied irgendwie fetter zu machen, so, das finde ich das Ödeste, sondern irgendwie was vielleicht hören zu können und dann zu sagen, okay, ich könnte das in einem ganz anderen Licht erscheinen lassen.
Warum ist weniger mehr?
Weil man selber mehr Platz für eigene Gedanken hat und weil damit dann eine größere Tiefe erreicht wird, weil nicht alles ausformuliert ist. Und manchmal kann weniger auch weniger sein, aber selten mehr mehr. Animal Collective ist zum Beispiel eine Band, wo ich manchmal denke, man, mehr ist mehr, weil die Schichten und Türmen, und es macht trotzdem Sinn und ist auch noch soulful, aber sonst finde ich fast in jeglichem Genre irgendwie runtergestrippte Musik, auf, bis auf die Essenz, irgendwie, das will ich hören, je älter ich werde. Ich bin überhaupt nicht interessiert an Schichtung und Krawall, und das kann jeder, aber weglassen ist es irgendwie viel schwerer. Die Frage ist ja immer so, wie viel braucht es, und in beiden Umkehrschlüssen, also was könnte man noch weglassen und dann zerbricht es, und was braucht es noch gerade an dieser Kante so rumzueiern, das finde ich irgendwie am spannendsten. Beim Herbert-Mix ist mir das, finde ich, gelungen, oder ich mag es so, wie es jetzt klingt, und der ist ja sehr defensiv und auch soft und mellow und deep und so, und dann ist es halt umso faszinierender zu sehen, dass dann im Nachtleben das dann auch noch so auf einmal aufgeht wie ein Stück Butter in der Pfanne und dann die Leute sogar schreien, viel mehr als bei einer aggressiven, harten Nummer. Aber generell da zu forschen, finde ich viel spannender als auf der anderen Seite, wo man die ganze Zeit immer nur Gummi gibt. Das ist irgendwie langweilig und kann ja auch jeder. It's only the sound of the phone ringing. It's only your silent voice singing. It's only the darkness bringing memories of you. It's only the first double meaning. It's only the second hand dealing. It's only you carefully stealing pieces of me.
The Kings of Leon.
For a song like Sex on Fire, I kind of wanted to go ahead and nip it in the bud and write the song about sex. But to be honest, the first time I said, your sex is on fire, I got it really embarrassed, and I thought the guys were going to be like, no, that's terrible. But they were like, wow, yeah, I like that. And I was like, really? I thought you'd hate it. But it stuck, and they thought it was a hook, so... with it. I mean, the music was sexy, you know, on a lot of these songs like Manhattan and stuff, so I felt like there's nothing wrong with a little sex every now and then.
Josh Homme from Queens of the Stone Age.
I was failing over and over, and that was the best thing ever. 3 years of failure was the best thing that could ever happen.
DJ Kotze.
Und dann war ich natürlich gebauchpinselt, als er mich irgendwann um meinen Remix gebeten hat, und da habe ich mir dann auch viel Mühe gegeben, und das ist nicht einfach. Je höher die Messlatte liegt, desto schwerer dann da auch rüber zu springen, dieses Lied irgendwie nochmal anders erscheinen und klingen zu lassen. Ich kann das selber nicht beschreiben. Alle Leute, die das hart feiern, die haben natürlich total recht. Das ist ein fantastischer Remix.
When I got physically sick and then almost lost my life, you know, I was in bed for 4 months and I couldn't get out of bed. So I disappeared for a year, basically, you know. I disappeared for a year. I didn't see my close friends even really. And because I'm, what are you gonna do? This tastes like shit. Taste it. You can see it now. Now, I'm from Palm Springs area, Palm Desert. there's a mountain range that goes along the eastern border of California, and it's the only place where it dips down, and it's where the desert begins. So there's snow on the mountaintop, and the snow melts and runs down and makes these beautiful waterfalls, and then the waterfalls pool at the base of the mountain where the desert starts. And so I've always felt like I had a foot in each, and I always felt like, because of my environment, transition is what I crave. I don't want to live in the desert, and I don't want to live in the mountains. I want to live where they touch. And where two things meet is where the beauty happens. You know, it's where the chaos lives, but it's also where the magic lives, you know. I really believe this analogy of a pirate ship, you know, for a real rock and roll band, because I know I'm the captain of our pirate ship, but I've put to you that the captain is just a role to play that is no more significant than the cook and the rigger. And this is the analogy I use, because if the captain fails, we die. If the cook fails, we die. The only problem you really have on this pirate ship is if you're the captain and you want to be the cook. And if you're the cook and you wish you were the rigger. Roll envy is a terrible thing in any rock and roll band. It's the thing that eats away. It's passive aggressive. That's not what we need. If we're going to take a town and plunder, we need everybody on the same page. And once you can admit what you want, well, I'll be damned if we can't get it. You know?
The history of rock and roll, as told in our radio show, Teil 10. Heroes of the Zeros, die Nullerjahre, Sendung von Michael Bartle.
Das war der 10. und letzte Teil unserer History-Reihe. Dieses Mal mit Interviews von Roderich Fabian, Maria Fedorova, Ralf Sommer, Amy Sayed, Caro Matzko, Florian Fricke, Nathalie Brunner, Klaus Krüsken, Frederik Kund, Noe Noack, Marcel Anders, Markus Heidingsfelder und Michael Bartle. Danke an alle Kolleginnen und Kollegen, die mir ihre Interviews zur Verfügung gestellt haben für die 10 Teile dieser Serie The History of Rock'n'Roll as Told in Our Radio Show. Das waren dazu noch Judith Schnaubelt, Achim Bogdan, Kai Bruckmeier, Thomas Meinecke, Bernie Jugel, Angie Portman, Jonathan Fischer, Franz Liebel, Mad Rock, grazie.
So thanks again, friends, for coming and I hope you enjoy the music.
I would watch Dave drink coffee and I would think to myself, well, I'm not going to drink coffee. So I was like, coffee, that's for pussies. Otherwise, you're the waiter in hell, you know. Hi, what can I get you guys? You like a coffee? Cool, go fuck yourself. It's hell, you know.